This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network, focusing our attention on our communication and leadership skills. In our episode today, we are talking with my friend Jimmy Lee, how to earn your CSP with Jimmy Lee. I was thinking that'd be a great title.
It's a good title. How to earn your CSP with Jimmy Lee.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jimmy. I think this is going to be a fun conversation. I've been following your speaking journey for quite a while. I'm so, so happy to be on a journey with you in so many ways. So we always have a word of the day here on the show. And today's word of the day, effusive. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Stop stressing over your business. You deserve a good night's sleep. The Institute's coaching helps you achieve success and financial peace. Learn more at wearetheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Are you tired of juggling multiple tools to manage your auto repair shop? Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. With AutoLeap, you can sell more, save precious time, and delight your customers with every interaction. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. All right, we are back, and today's word of the day is effusive. It is an adjective expressing feelings of gratitude, pleasure, or approval in an unrestrained and heartfelt manner. Well, that's one definition. The other definition is of igneous rock poured out when molten and later solidified, but I don't know how many geologists listen on this podcast.
No, probably not very many.
While we may not be talking about rocks, we are talking to a rock star today.
Well, thank you. Right back at you, brother. Right back at you.
Just really happy to have this conversation. As first and foremost, congratulations to you, sir, on earning your CSP.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a long journey to get the CSP for sure.
So let's define it for our audience. What is the CSP?
The CSP stands for Certified Speaking Professional. And there is quite the gauntlet you have to run to earn it. And I'll say that the first year I applied thinking, oh, I got this, total slam dunk. I so got this. I've been speaking for 10 plus years, spoken all 50 states. I'm still traveling all 50 states. Yeah, no, I totally got this. In the back.
Completely what my assumption would be as well, because I have seen you. I've seen you speak multiple times. I remember my earliest days leaving the family business, joining the software world. I was aware of this Jimmy Lee guy with the spiky hair. What a cool guy. He speaks so well, so articulate and passionate. And well, that's already, in my mind, a speaking professional right there that I'm seeing. There's a certification element to this, though, but I have to ask, like those early days, that certification technically not there, but you're obviously a professional, but was this something you wanted to pursue way back then? When did this seed get planted?
You know, that's a great question, because we go to trade shows, we go to conferences, we see these people that get up there and they talk about surviving a house fire, challenged with paralysis, and how do you overcome, and how I climbed Mount Everest and Kilimanjaro. Done any of those kinds of things?
Yeah, how can I deliver a keynote unless I climb Everest?
I'm just a regular Joe. I'm just a regular guy. I do regular things. I always thought, yeah, you know, I don't know that I want to pursue professional speaking as a career because of all these trade shows. And they take you on such an emotional roller coaster because they have been through such an emotional roller coaster in their own lives. And then a few years ago, I was in Puerto Rico at a conference, and I saw a friend from college. It was my brother's roommate. He was there. And I was there introducing the main speaker, Ross Bernstein, who is a very good friend in the industry now, and he's a phenomenal speaker talking about the Champions Code. From that, I was like, no, wait, I know you guys. You guys are normal too. You put on one pant at a time. Okay, true. Ross has written over 50 books.
Yeah, we just saw him at the Institute Summit down there in Florida.
Down in Florida, yeah. He was phenomenal. He did a phenomenal job for us. Rob's been a DJ. He was at Universal Studios. He was at Disney World. He's done a lot of emceeing in his career, which is phenomenal. We had Dan Clark at our conference in Florida, and he's a guy that lives in Utah, Sandy, Utah.
Oh, you're practically neighbors.
We're in the same chapter with NSA. So NSA has chapters all over the United States, very similar to the automotive industry where ASA had chapters all over the United States.
Yeah, but this is the National Speakers Association.
The NSA, National Speakers Association, has chapters all over the United States as well. I think there's 63 chapters split into three regions. You have a East Coast, West Coast, and a Central. So, I thought, I need to look into this. Okay, guys, what do I need to do? And they gave me my litmus test. And the litmus test says, well, check out the NSA, the National Speakers Association. Check out this chapter in Vegas and check out this chapter in Utah and join one of them. That was Rob's advice. Ross just said, hey, go check out the NSA. And I went to each one of them and I joined the Vegas chapter. I joined the Utah chapter and I joined the national chapter in April. And by that July, they had a conference in Orlando, Florida, and I registered for that. And that was not an inexpensive trade show. My ticket was almost $2,000 plus airfare, plus hotel. This was a $5,000-$7,000 experience for me as an individual.
Yeah, significant individual investment into credentialing like that. This wasn't even credentialing yet. This is just you getting into this group.
Joining the association, essentially what it was. So in each of these chapter meetings, they have phenomenal speakers that come in and they present to the chapter of, this is what I did when I started out, and this is my marketing, and this is how I approach bureaus, and this is how I approach associations, this is how I approach corporate. This is how you hook an audience. This is how you present your opening 3 seconds or 17 seconds or anything like that.
So I think that's interesting, Jimmy, because something for our audience too, we talk a lot about Toastmasters International here, and you've mentioned Toastmasters, which you've been a part of as well for a while, and there's the NSA. So what is the difference between these two things? And I think the difference is worth noting with the credential that you've just earned, the CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional, is the NSA, I feel, is very specifically tailored towards individuals who are making a living as a speaker. It's not just a hobby or just a skill set that we're trying to improve. This is something that is a source of income.
Yeah, very true. They estimate that worldwide, there's between 40 and 50,000 professional speakers. Within the United States, there's somewhere around 18,000 professional speakers. And so the designation of a CSP, there's 570 active CSP.
So this is an extraordinarily rare thing. Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty dang cool. So they gave me this litmus test and said, all right, check them out. Go check it out. See if this is something you really want to do. And I was like, yeah, no, I want to do this. I mean, I earned my Eagle Scout. I was a Scoutmaster for 18 years. I have a history of, I'm kind of competitive. I want the achievement. I want the goal and I want to achieve the goal. And so joining that, I went to the conference and I was starting to build my list of 250 presentations. So within that CSP certification, there's four different phases that you have to go through.
Four phases. And the speaking,
probably the most daunting, has to be the list of 250 presentations that you have to put together on a spreadsheet to list who was it for, where were you, who's the main contacts, the email, the phone numbers. So imagine if you're doing this along the way, easy lift. If you come into it after doing it for 10 years, that's a heavy lift to go back into your memory. And I'm going through calendars and I'm going through my Southwest app and my Marriott and my Hilton. And what kind of history can I pull from these people that'll give me locations I've been to? It got so bad that I'm going through my photos hoping that I have taken a picture somewhere at the event, because you can click on it and it'll geolocate where the picture was taken. Ta-da!
This is sounds like hours and hours and hours of work over a period of time just to create the list. And what's how many did you need to?
Months and months and months and months and months. You have to have 250 paid speaking events that you were paid.
Does it matter how much you were paid?
The minimum is $250.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pretty low bar to say that, but then you also have to have made at least $50,000 a year from your professional speaking career.
My, my.
So it adds up quick. I mean, if you only had five a year at 10,000 a pop, okay, that's 50,000, but you're not going to get to 250 very quickly.
Yeah, no. So this is why this is probably remain a very rare certification in our industry, in the auto repair industry specifically, even though we have some amazing professional trainers that do a wonderful job, the volume of the speaking that is involved to reach this designation it's tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So I started my list in April and had to finish it by September 1st. You can submit September 1st. I kept working on it, And you have until January 10th at midnight to submit. So I was working on it all the way through September, October, November, December. I think it was January 3rd that I finally submitted. And when you submit, it's like building a ship. You push this ship out into the water and you hope it floats. You have to have done all the things ahead of time and submit a full complete packet. You can't ask for any alterations. You can't ask for additional time. You can't ask for clarification on in these different areas. It is made. It is built. It is floating. It's gone.
Yeah. You can't ask for clarification, but they may reach out to you for clarification at this phase, it sounds like.
Well, that's pretty much a guaranteed fail.
Oh, boy. What is this?
If you're not clear enough in your instructions back to them, that's where you fail. So I passed in my first phase.
That seems like one of the biggest hurdles in the world. Is that the biggest hurdle?
The 250, passed that. Second phase is 20 people that will endorse you. And they give you 2 weeks to gather that endorsement. Well, I'll tell you a little secret. When you've got that type of an event happening, you want to tell people you've got 4 hours to get this back. I passed phase two within about 6 to 8 hours because people were prepped. Everybody I reached out to were all prepared. They knew that they were on the hook. You also need 20 to pass that to the next phase. They counted me up to 26 and they're like, okay, Jimmy, we're not going to count anymore. I submitted 45 different people as here's people that will vouch for me. And so they counted up to 26 and then they're like, okay. No, dude, time out. We're good. Stop.
Yeah, you left nothing to doubt on that one.
Nothing. Yeah. I was getting through there as quick as I can. So phase three comes into your video. And I'm giving you the high level thing. I sent you the packet that's, 23 different pages of what to do's and what not to do's and how to submit.
We'll link this in our show notes, folks. If you are curious what goes into this, it's really fascinating.
It's intense. So phase three is your video phase. And they say, well, you can send us either two videos that are 20 to 25 minutes long, or you can send in one video that is 40 to 45 minutes long. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to send in two that are 20 to 25. I picked one. It was a presentation that was recorded at Ratchet & Wrench Conference. And then there was an online video that I recorded with RO Rider. So I submitted the first 22, 23 minutes of each presentation. And they came back and they said, hey, this is the same presentation and just in two different formats. And I said, well, yeah, I'm showing the versatility of my ability to present live and then to present virtually.
Oh, not what they wanted, was it? Oh, no.
No, it wasn't. She says, well, you either need to submit one 40 to 45 or a separate 20 to 25 minute. And I was like, and because I submitted early, I had time to be able to fix this. But this also goes to my point that if they're asking for more, you're probably not going to pass.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I quickly adjusted and I said, all right, I'm just going to turn in the full 41 minute, 30 seconds of the Ratchet and Wrench conference.
Yeah, the live choice. Good choice.
Live choice. Yeah, failed.
Yeah, I remember this. We were talking at that time about this stuff. Oh, that must have been heartbreaking.
And the heartbreaking thing is you don't find out right then. You don't submit and they say fail. You submit and they say, okay, we'll get back to you in a few months. So you're sitting on pins and needles, you know, the anticipation, the excitement, you're talking about it, you're jazzed about it, you're talking, everybody you're talking to, you're talking about how you submitted for your CSP. And then they call you back on September 14th or 15th, or no, March 14th or 15th. And they say, I'm sorry, you didn't pass. You're not going to proceed to the next level. So-and-so is going to give you a call and give you some feedback on what you can do to improve. Do submit again next year. So my video, what I had recorded in the back of the room on my cell phone, I had a microphone on me, but the audience was not mic'd. So the feedback was, we couldn't see you very well. You weren't very well lit. Yeah, it's a breakout room. It's not a stage.
Yeah. Tough. Yeah, it's so common for our industry too.
Totally. Yeah, we do a lot of breakouts, a lot of workshops. So the feedback was, it wasn't well lit. We couldn't see you very well. We couldn't see your slides very well. We couldn't hear the audience. We couldn't hear the engagement because I was mic'd, the audience wasn't. They would ask a question and it looked like I was a deer standing in the headlights.
Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the AutoFlow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love AutoFlow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an AutoFlow trial. Are you tired of juggling multiple tools to manage your auto repair shop? Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to the streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. With AutoLeap, you can sell more, save precious time, and delight your customers with every interaction. How? By harnessing the power of cutting-edge technology that brings you real-time actionable insights. From scheduling appointments, to creating estimates, generating invoices, managing technicians, and seamlessly syncing with QuickBooks to keep your records updated, AutoLeap does it all for you. Visit AutoLeap.com and book a demo today. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. Okay, so now there's this whole new dynamic of evaluation that we just haven't had to consider before. Yeah.
Right. And so the advice is now bring forward your best material, bring forward your best recording of a presentation. And it almost is that you have to have a videographer. you have to hire somebody to come and do this. So I talked to other CSP professionals, other professional speakers in the industry. Tony Chapman was one. He is a cool guy. You know Tony.
Tony's such a cool guy. We met him in Florida at another conference, and I've got his card sitting on my desk. I'm going to have to reach out to him at some point. Wonderful person.
Dude, he came to the Las Vegas chapter and presented, and I told him my journey, my sojourn. He's like, dude, present again. Here's my advice to you. Present your virtual version. You're well lit. Your audience, your engagement is high because the chat comes through. Your slides are solid. You got good lighting. You got a good microphone. And I was like, oh, done. Dude, I got it. Nailed it.
The value of mentoring right there too, just right there. Someone who's gone through, experienced this, understands this stuff. Because what was our initial thing? Yeah, of course, I'm going to do the live one. But of course, for a video review, the virtual one's a better medium for them to get a sense of the whole picture. Oh my gosh.
A videographer is going to cost you $5,000-$6,000 to get a good videographer to come in and video you. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to get some wedding videographer to come in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which they're not working, but it still costs a lot of money to get them to come do it.
Yeah. And this is a post-COVID world too. The virtual presentation ability has to become a tool in the repertoire of a professional speaker. As we have seen many examples, even ourselves, we've had to learn that medium to do it true honor, like to respect the medium enough to do well in it. It takes practice and focus. It's not a disrespected medium anymore.
You are absolutely correct. It is a discipline that needs its own classification. I'm learning so much on this virtual information, virtual knowledge. StreamYard is phenomenal because the production happens in real time. Whereas if you do it on Zoom and then have to do post-editing, you're 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of post-editing trying to make it look good. But this is good. There's been some phenomenal virtual event presenters that produce it on the fly. I mean, they've got like 6 screens in front of them, a big boom mic, a crazy magnifying camera in front of them. They're able to, on the fly, click, 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 while they're still looking at the camera. They're not looking over here, looking over here, looking down. They're looking here, and they know where their buttons are. I mean, like a NASA astronaut can fly the shuttle blindfolded because they know where all the buttons are. These guys know where all the buttons are. It's just amazing. It's fascinating.
We're not, of course, insinuating that astronauts are flying blindfolded. We're just that they could.
They could. Not, well, they train blind. They do train blindfolded so that they know where all the buttons are. Or if all the lights go out and you can't see anything, or, you know, who knows what happens. But so that's phase 3 is where I failed last year.
Well, what happens after you fail? Do you have to start the whole big thing all over again?
Yeah.
But you have your 250 list.
Yeah. So Shelby, she says, with my reapplication, I said, I'm going to reapply again for next year. And you can't reapply until September 1st. So you have to wait. So you're videoing all the time. Every production I've done, I video it. And I'm taking it from a viewpoint of not just videoing it to have a digital version of it or digital copy. You said such and such at this conference. Well, let me go back. I have a copy of it. Here's the audio version. This is what I said. It's not what you heard, but this is what I said. I've got a huge library of this is what I said. But now I'm doing it more from a viewpoint of the video quality. I need to have good video quality. So now I've got a gimbal that I travel with, a Pocket 3, so that it can track me. And that's something that you put up in the front of the room. Then I've got Action 4s that I put up in the back of the room. They're like GoPros that you can record directly onto them. So it gets different angles. Got an angle of the audience. So if ever we want to splice and dice a really good conference or a really good meeting, we've got some B-roll. We've got some different angles, different camera angles, and really good sound.
Yes. But Jimmy, these aren't terribly expensive instruments either, right? Not terrible.
280 for the Action 4, 280 per camera, $40 per SD card. I get an SD 512. If you want to spend $100, you can get a 1 terabyte SD card. My gimbal, now this is the funny thing, those gimbals, the DJI Pocket 3, I bought it at $700. They're almost $950 now.
Yeah. So this phase 1, 2, and 3. So for our listeners that are ever considering a certification like this, it sounds to me like the best advice out of the gate, one, start keeping track of what you do now.
And every single presentation.
And the people who will vouch for you. So phase one and two, if you start with that stuff, not a huge lift, or it could be less of a lift than what you've described earlier. And then for the video component, getting some basic resources in place so that you have the habit, at least the skill set applied and the resources there to give some decent recordings of both you and the audience from multiple perspectives, very small investment in that regard that you can sit and just chip away at these requirements over time.
100%. Even right now, the camera that I'm using is my iPhone. iPhone has a phenomenal camera. You get a little wireless mic that you can plug into it for $160. And then you can be up to 60 yards away or, you know, it's far.
Yeah. I like the Rode Wireless Go. Can plug right into a cell phone. It's perfect.
Yep. It's phenomenal. So then phase four.
Yeah. So there's a fourth phase, folks.
There is a fourth phase. Oh, and by the way, your video is reviewed by other CSP candidates who are going to look at your presentation and say, does this person meet the qualifications to become part of our elite group, if you will?
Yeah. So they're protecting the integrity of the certification itself from within.
100%. If you are a keynote speaker, then you're judged by keynoters. If you're an MC, it goes to MCs. If you're a breakout or a training session, then you go to the breakout or the training. There are some that are college professors that they'll be vetted by college professors. Religious leaders, worship leaders, they have this designation as well. They can earn their CSP because they're doing 2 to 3, 4 worship sessions every week.
Sure.
And they're getting paid to do it. So yeah, let's make it a better message. Yeah. So in this year, there's only 33 or 34 that passed this year. I don't know how many applied. So phase three is your video. It does go in front of the CSP committee and in front of other CSP committee members. And then phase four is it goes in front of the entire board, the NSA board, and they vote on it.
Do you have to do a presentation live in front of anyone at any time during this portion?
No, it's all done via the recording.
Nice. That makes it a little easier.
Yeah. To give a little bit of the history of the National Speakers Association, this started way back in the day. Cavett was the gentleman that started the National Speakers Association. And this is back when Zig Ziglar was there, Brian Tracy, and some of these super inspiring speakers. The concern was back when they started it in 1975, there's not enough pie to go around, actually.
As in speaking gigs?
That's what they were afraid of. You're stealing from me. You're stealing from me.
Oh, a scarcity mindset. That's not good for an organization that wants to grow.
Yeah. And doesn't that sound familiar? That's in the automotive industry. Oh, he's my competition. No, he's my competition. She's my competition. No. Lock arms together. We can elevate this industry. So back in 1975, he says, there's plenty of pie to go around. We'll just make a bigger pie.
Oh, I love it. Good point.
So the National Speaker Day is March 14th, Pie Day.
See, only speakers would do a day for themselves that could be a pun based off of a somewhat of an inside statement that few people can get.
Right? Oh, isn't that funny? Pie Day, 3.14. March 14th. So that's the day. That's National Speakers Day.
Wow. So yeah, words thrive on a day for numbers. That's great.
Yeah. It's been a long journey. It's been a learning experience. So every month I have gone to the Vegas chapter, to their meeting, 2-hour drive to Vegas, just for that 6-hour meeting. And then a 2-hour drive back home. So once a month on a Saturday, we're doing that. And then once a month on a Wednesday is the Utah meeting. They have their mastermind meeting. It starts about 2:00. Then the major meeting starts at 4:30 and goes until 8:30. And then it's a 4-hour drive home after that as well.
Wow. Jimmy, so let me ask you this. Now, to my knowledge, I can't think, but maybe I'm wrong. Is there anyone else in the automotive aftermarket that carries the CSP certification? Or you've really pioneered this then? That's pretty amazing. And man, is that ever on mission for what we talk about here on this podcast, elevating our communication skills, like any skill, our industry has a tenuous relationship with certifications. A lot of people disagreeing on their value and other things. And man, I've always been in firmly in the camp where certifications, like Bob Greenwood used to tell me, like he's up there in a suit. Like, this is my connection to certifications, wearing a suit in front of an audience. Bob says, you know why I do that? It's not for me. It's out of respect for the people that I'm meeting with. You're worth it. And I see certifications as putting on something that conveys respect to the people that you're meeting and speaking with. And what a testimony of that respect, which is something that I think has emanated from you all the time, Jimmy. Whenever you're emceeing, whether I see you giving a keynote or any of your other presentations, you care about the people you're meeting with. And I think that's just absolutely something that you master at demonstrating. But that's what this certification is. And I feel like that's a sort of, I wanted to have this conversation with you because one, congratulations, and two, the why behind going after these sort of things. And I think it's summarized in its title. It's just, this is what professionals do.
Yeah, this is what professionals do. Look at an Eagle Scout. An Eagle Scout is a designation. It's an achievement. It's an accomplishment of something you did in your youth. The military values that, that says you have done such training that we're not going to have to take the time to train you in all these different areas. You will excel in these areas. So we're not only going to recognize that, we're going to give you a raise. So instead of coming in at an E1, you come in at an E2 or an E3. That's pretty cool.
And so this would open the door to other things in your speaking career.
That's the desire, is that this opens up different doors and different opportunities going forward, where not only am I able to speak in the automotive aftermarket, but maybe I can take this message out into the world of dentistry or attorneys or chiropractors or ophthalmologists or any blue collar, any home service, any construction industry. We in the automotive industry are so akin to these other service industries. We're so similar. HVAC, plumbers, electricians. We're so similar in so many different ways that we do have designation. We do have certifications that say that you're a master certified mechanic, you're a master certified technician. They have different designations in the, I think, electronics. My uncle was an electrician. He was a lineman. So after he was a lineman for 25, 30 years, he opened up his own practice as a private electrician. It's pretty dang cool. I've heard a lot of, in the automotive industry, people say about the certifications. Well, that all that proves is that you know how to pass a test.
Oh, I know, man. It kills me when they say that. What's your thoughts on this?
So I have a couple of thoughts on it. Number one, yes, it does prove that they can pass a test. But number two, they actually passed the test.
Yeah, they also took the test, period.
They took the time, they took the test. And are there speakers in the industry that can speak that don't have the CSP designation? Yes, there are. Absolutely. The CSP designation is basically a golden ticket. It's a VIP. It's a designation that says, here's somebody that went through all the steps to prove how great they are. And by committee and by their peers, they are now certified.
Jimmy, I think that's such a great way to tie a bow on this too, because our industry absolutely has similar challenges to other industries. But what we don't tend to do is communicate well about our challenges in this industry. And thus the stigma perpetuates itself without any voices out there correcting it. So when I see someone within our industry who we know and love reaching for a certification like this and being able to go truly anywhere and talk about this, I see that as a great beacon of light for what you can reflect back on to this industry is say, hey, I'm Jimmy Lee. You have this designation that needs no introduction in the right audiences anymore. You can mention your experience in the automotive repair industry and people be like, what? Auto repair? Oh my goodness. They have professionals? Yes, we do. They're pretty amazing.
Yep. And I've been all over North America, been in shops all over North America. I've seen shops. I love walking in. I know you do too. What makes this shop unique? What makes them stand out from all the others? What is unique and different and awesome and amazing about this shop that I haven't seen at others? There's just some fascinating, fascinating things that happen all across the country.
And amazing people, just some of the best beacons of light ever. And then you, after visiting the types of shops that you or I would typically visit, you wonder how this industry can even have a reputation as tarnished as it was. And I think it's improving a great deal as technology is driving a lot of this. So,
oh, absolutely. I think you'll find nefarious activity in all the industries. There's no clean industry that says we don't have any issues. You think of doctors that are malpractice and they're practicing medicine without a license, and attorneys that are practicing law without a license. No, they shouldn't be doing that. No, you wouldn't trust them to do that for you. Same with automotive repair. You do need to have certified technicians. You do need to have a certified shop. And the more you can elevate your shop, your business, your people, the more you can elevate your community and your neighbors that are also your competition, but really they're not. They're not your competition. They're your friends. And if you lock arms together and together you can raise the industry, it does so much good for not just your community, but the industry as a whole.
Yeah, this is why we're so aligned, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Let me ask this and one more question here for you. Have you done a presentation since achieving the certification?
Oh yeah, tons.
Did it feel any different?
No. No, because it's still amongst my people.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely does. That's the answer I was hoping to hear. Yeah, because you've been working towards this and you've earned it. And that means that you've achieved it long before the designation came.
Thank you. Yeah, it's still amongst my people. I think it will feel different when I present to an audience I've never been in front of before.
Like one of those doors that opens that you haven't walked through yet.
Yes. So for example, on the 21st of May, I will present to the Mountain West chapter of the National Speakers Association. It's an event they called Get Paid to Speak. And so they...
It's well titled. Is it about getting paid to speak?
It is. They had five different areas. And so you have to submit your proposal of what you want to speak on and why you want to speak on it. And I submitted to speak on seating your presentation so it's a back of the room sale, which has been what I've done for the last 10, 15 years. I'm here to educate, 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 educate. I'm here to teach you so that you know what I know, and together we can make a better decision. By the way, there's so much you have to do as a shop owner, which you don't have time to do. I'm going to educate on all these things you need to do. And by the end, the last 5 minutes, oh, by the way, this is who I am. This is who we are. This is what we do. Everything we've just talked about, people in the back of the room can help you get signed up so that you don't have to do it yourself. We can do it together. Nobody likes to be sold to, but everybody likes to buy. Nobody wants to show up for a 1 hour presentation, a 1 hour commercial.
A 1 hour pitch. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Jimmy, see, this is what first fueled my interest in speaking in this industry is the fact that I have to sit through a lot of that in my earlier career. So many times the whole thing, it's like, this is a marketing pitch. This is billed incorrectly. It's not good, especially if people paid to be there. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're charging me money for this training, but it's not training. It's a marketing pitch. No.
Nope. Burns people out.
You should come away from that training with more knowledge and information that you can implement. And that's also one of the things that I qualify in presentations is to say, here's things you can do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's things you need a little bit of sophistication to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here are the things that you really need to hire a professional to do, because if you do it wrong, you're going to break everything.
So let me ask this, Jimmy, because I am terrible at the, you termed as the back of the room sale. Actually, I've been so disenfranchised with like a marketing type presentation. I will not even mention the product. I might even say, don't look at this product like more than I would say, look at it, just because I feel so squeamish about crossing a boundary. It's almost like a service advisor who would sell out of their own pocket and that sort of thing. Obviously, I see the value though, but I'm so concerned about the way that someone is going to perceive it. It prohibits me from freely suggesting the thing that I know is going to truly help people in that last 5 minutes. What would help me get over that?
Well, you have to seed it all the way through the presentation. So at about 15 minutes, you're dropping some nuggets that say, for example, all the clients that I have worked with have seen results that look like this. All the clients that have implemented these policies, procedures, operations have seen results like this. So at a 15 minutes, at a half an hour, you're dropping these seeds that talk about your qualification as the expert, your qualification that you know what you're talking about, that you're coming in with results. Here are the results. You can't make up the numbers. They have to be real. They have to be true. They have to be good.
Real case studies are more fun anyways. Then they flow with stories.
And then when you're getting to the very end, you acknowledge the fact of, oh my gosh, you know what, guys? We have talked about so many different things in this presentation, so many different marketing ideas, so many different policies, procedures, so many different applications to your shop. And it might change. It might upheave your entire process that you think you have currently to implement something like a DVI program or a CRM or a marketing program or texting. We have talked about a lot of different items that are going to help your shop be more efficient, more productive. If it seems overwhelming, which it probably does right now, come see my people. Come talk to me.
Yeah. It's like you seed it the whole way through and just at the end, you watered it.
Yep. And this is what we do. So one of the aspects of speaking that you talk to is in educating the customers and the clients. And I'll say things like that there's software in the industry that will allow you to do X, Y, and Z. There's a lot of different softwares in the industry. I don't mention specific companies until I get to the very end, unless someone speaks up and says, oh, I use Autoflow for my DVI. I'll say, yeah, they're great.
They're buddy, best one ever. Yeah, mic drop.
Best ones ever. Definitely call them. Now that they have opened that floodgate, you've got to open it to the other softwares in the industry as well.
That's really smart.
What do you guys use? What do you guys use? What do you like about what you're using? What do you like about what you're using? If you had a magic wand, what would you change about the system that you're using?
It's such a diplomatic move. Obviously, being from Autoflow, when I'm doing a presentation and we have one of our wonderful, very effusive clients in the audience that want to pronounce that for us because they notice we haven't mentioned anything about it before, it's actually almost embarrassing then. And so you need to open it up to people to say other things. I think it's a wise maneuver.
I like to keep it very Switzerland that says there's software in the industry. If you have questions about what software, you can come talk to me after. And if somebody says, oh, well, I use XYZ, acknowledge it, thank them, and open it up to other people because it's not a commercial for XYZ.
Me and Chris Cloutier, we refer to this as integrity and training. And that's exactly what you're speaking to here. That's beautiful. Well, good thing, man. I love it. Jimmy, and hey, you have your certificate with you, right?
I do. It just came in the mail. I'm so excited.
Ah, that's so cool. It's not even framed yet?
Not even framed yet. Yeah, it just came right in the envelope.
Wow, look at that, man. Oh, congratulations, Jimmy. What ton of hard work and years and years and years of practice. What a journey.
What a journey is correct. Yes, thank you very much.
And the journey doesn't end here. I know that well with you. So it's just still onwards and upwards, my friend.
Onward and upward, that's right. And we'll do it together. It's going to be so much fun.
Hey, when's the next event from the Institute?
So we've already done Survive or Thrive, which is a diesel conference in Kentucky. That is the middle of May. We will have done Tools at the end of May.
Yep, you'll see Brandon there.
And into June, we will be at the SWAP in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Sunrise Tech Training Expo down there with Diana DeLeon. I'm the MC, and I believe I'm teaching a couple classes down there as well.
Wonderful. I went a couple of years ago on that, and there was our springboard to a family vacation afterwards. I had my family catch up with me there, and we drove up to the...
That's when you did Sedona, right?
Well, Sedona was last year. The year I went to Sunrise, we went to the Grand Canyon and Zion and Bryce.
Ah, okay.
That's when we made it over to your neck of the woods over there. Beautiful southern Utah. Ah, beautiful.
Thank you. So... SWAP will be the end of June. Anybody that's listening to this, come to Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, sign up for it. Very reasonably priced compared to what it costs for speakers to go to a speakers conference. This is very reasonably priced.
Yeah, anyone in the Southwest, that'd be an absolute bargain.
Absolute must. Yeah, you must go to this. And then we've got events at the Institute, at headquarters, leadership intensives, service advisor training, management training, coaching and training for shop owners, our mastermind group events, they travel around to different shops. We've got 5 different mastermind groups. That's a ton of fun as well.
That's a ton of stuff. And leadership with Michael Smith. And man, if there's one that's local to my area, I got to tip me off, my friend. I want to make it to one of those.
We're doing a leadership intensive in June or July in Chicago. That's close to you.
Okay. Yeah. Chicago is only 3.5-hour drive, 1/2-hour flight.
Yep. That's dang close, brother. That's dang close.
No, cool. We'll talk on that. Oh, thank you so much, Jimmy. And hey, thank you to all of you, our loyal listeners as well. I hope you find this conversation super encouraging. And if you have that little inkling of a notion that says, yes, I want to speak for a living and I'm working towards that, and that's what leads you to this podcast, I hope Jimmy's words today can give you a new roadmap, if you will, towards a really interesting and really what a cool certification. I am going to be looking into this, my friend.
Call me because I can help you get there. And that's what I want to do. As an Eagle Scout, you want to help other Eagles get their Eagle. As a professional speaker, I want to help other speakers qualify as a certified speaking professional. 100%.
Build that pie. Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much. And remember, folks, reach out to us here at the show. speakup@craigoneal.net. I would love to hear from any of you that have questions or want to hear more on topics like this. And remember to listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Matt Fonslow's Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z, Carm Capriato's Remarkable Results Radio, Hunt Demarest's Business by the Numbers, Brian and Kim Walker's The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast, and Coach Chris Cotton on the Weekly Blitz. Thank you to all of our sponsors once again, especially Jimmy, you and the folks at the Institute. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you all for joining us. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and get certified.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.